Thank you, Melissa. It's been one of those mornings. We got the wrong version up there when she was reading it, which is going to matter when I start preaching. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests, was the verse that I wanted to all have ringing in your ears when you left that text. So there it is. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Now last week, we saw that the anticipation of the advent or arrival of the promised offspring who would be the promised king began all the way back in Genesis chapter 3. Do you remember that? We were talking about opening those advent doors through the Old Testament. And the first advent door that we opened was in Genesis chapter 3 when mankind chose to doubt God and to ignore his word and to establish ourselves as the highest authority, our relationship with God was broken at that point. We rejected God, and so our peace with God was removed. In Hebrew terms, there was no longer shalom or peaceful harmony and goodwill between us and God. So it was the end of our peace. And so then we saw that the story of the Bible and God's intervention with his creation from that point on was the rehabilitation or the restoration of that shalom, that peace. The question that the Old Testament asks over and over and over again is, how will mankind again find peace with God? And of course, it will be through the promise. It will be through the offspring. It will be through the king, the prince of peace, that our peace and our favor with God is restored. So it makes perfect sense then, as we're approaching now Christmas Eve and Christmas, and as we're looking in Luke here, that when the angels appear to the shepherds, their announcement would be of a child and their proclamation would be of peace and of favor of God. So the good news, the angel says, evangelizo, the gospel was news of great joy for all people, a savior who is Christ the Lord, and of his arrival, the angels are singing. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This is the gospel, that peace has come through the offspring and through the King, Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. That is how the verse goes. If you're looking in your NIV or your ESV or your RSV or the New Living Translation, even in the Message, it says it this way. Peace on earth to men on whom his favor rests. That's who receives peace. The joyful proclamation of the angels carries with it this sober question, on whom does God's favor rest? And this is the question the Old Testament asks, is it not? If peace was lost, how is it regained? If favor was lost and it has come in Jesus, then who receives it? Because as the angel sings on that joyful night, it is not peace for everyone. It is peace for those on whom the favor of God rests. And so as we approach this Christmas season, as we consider even our own lives much more poignantly, if we're going to enjoy the full joy and complete peace of Christmas this year, we need to understand, and I want to explore this morning what the Bible says about the favor of God as it relates to this promised person of Jesus and to each of us personally. Because it's not peace on earth, goodwill towards men, as Linus says in the Charlie Brown Christmas special, quoting the King James Version. That goodwill towards men has a specific meaning in the Greek. And that's why all your other translations say peace to men on whom his favor rests. And so the four ways in which we want to consider the favor of God and this promise of peace in the person of Jesus Christ, I'm looking at it four ways. First of all, that you can receive the favor of God through Jesus. You cannot lose the favor of God because of Jesus. You may not always feel favored by God, even with Jesus, but you are favored by God, in Jesus. So we're going to look at those four points when it comes to the favor of God and on whom God's favor rests through Jesus. So first of all, you can receive the favor of God through Jesus. And I'm just going to pray before we unpack this. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the proclamation of the angels. Thank you that it is the gospel, the evangel, the good news that your peace has come, that shalom with you can be restored, and that your favor does rest on men, on mankind, and on those in whom have believed in Christ. And so, Father, I just pray this morning that we would be reassured as Christians that we have your favor, and that if not believers, that we would be both convicted and encouraged that we can receive your favor through your Son. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. So first of all, let me tell you that the good news of the angel is first and foremost that you can receive the favor of God through Jesus. It's a declaration, this angel's announcement, of not only who has come, Jesus, into the world, but what he brings to the world in his arrival. Namely, peace and favor with God are possible because of and through the person of Jesus, the Messiah, who was born this night. The gospel of the disciple John emphasizes this as much as any other gospel. John does not have a birth account of Jesus like the other three gospels do. John opens up his gospel instead with a sort of theological summary of what is happening behind the scenes when Jesus is born. John begins with a description of how peace and reconciliation or goodwill comes to man in the form and in the person of the Son of God. So in the first chapter of John, he says Jesus was with God and was God. And then another John, not to get confused about all the Johns, but another John, John the Baptist, came to announce that Jesus, through whom all things were created, was himself now coming into creation. That's your first 9 verses of John. Okay? And then Jesus came and we saw his glory. But then John says that when Jesus came, not everyone received him. Simeon prophesied to Mary that Jesus would be a sign that is opposed. So not everyone receives Jesus when he comes. Many oppose Jesus. But by his coming, he made a way that some could receive him. And to all who did receive him, John says, who believed in him, he gave the right to become children of God. And so by Jesus coming, he made it possible. He gave the right to those who believe to become children of God, who were not born of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this is what Jesus has accomplished. This is what was going on theologically, doctrinally, relationally, behind the birth of a baby in a stable. Behind the birth and the coming of the person of Jesus, theologically what was happening, John says, is that the Creator was coming into creation, and now we had the right to become children of God. Through believing in him. It's through believing or trusting the person of Jesus that we become God's children. No other way. Through Jesus, we find peace and goodwill or favor before the Father. John, writing later in his life, says, "Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him," namely Jesus. Paul says in Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing, it is the gift of God." And so the angel's announcement is true. Peace and favor have come in the form of Jesus to those who believe in him specifically. To the world, Jesus says in Luke 12, "Do you think that I have come to give you peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Because we've already been told by Simeon that he is a sign that's going to be opposed. And Jesus tells his disciples, "You think that this is going to be peaceful, my coming? No, people are going to persecute you. People are going to stand against you." He says even houses will be divided. Families will be divided. Nations will be divided over the arrival of Jesus. So he did not come to give peace to the whole earth, to all nations in that sense. He came to give peace and favor and shalom to those who believe. To his disciples, Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." You see, Jesus says, "My peace is for you who believe in me. My peace is for my disciples." I've not brought peace to the world, but I've brought peace to you. And so the Apostle Paul says that it is by believing or trusting that we are filled with peace. He says in Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. And so the first thing we want to look at in terms of understanding the favor of God is, first and foremost, don't miss this, you can be favored by God. You can be counted among those who have peace and shalom and favor and goodwill of God. And the most basic answer to how do you find peace with God is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says from beginning to end. It is through belief, it is through faith, it is through trusting in the person who arrived at that angel's announcement, in the Son of God, in Jesus Christ. The good news the angel announced is that the means of God's peace and favor has come in the person of Jesus. And all who forsake their old self, all who put their hope and trust in Jesus and what he has done, find favor and peace with God. So good news, first off, you can be counted among those who the angels sing about. You can be among the favored of God. It's possible. It's been made possible through Jesus Christ. Secondly, though, the good news just gets better. You cannot lose the favor of God because of Jesus. Now, if you're like me, you can find yourself in and out of people's good books. Right? You're in somebody's good books, you're in their bad books. That's a biblical idiom, by the way, if you didn't know that. There literally is a good book of life, and you want to be in it, trust me. But I can be in and out of people's good books. And if you're like me, you can also be in and out of people's good books, depending at various times on what ministry detail I have forgotten or what information I did not pass along in a timely manner. I am in and out of my staff's good books. Depending on what I say or how I say it up here on a Sunday morning, I may be in and out of your good books. Or the elders may be the same way, depending on the decisions we make regarding the church. We may be in or out of the church's good books, depending on what we've decided. It's human nature to anticipate that we fall out of favor of people. Right? We just know we can fall out of favor with people. We know in our being as humans that we fall out of favor, and then we have to earn our way back into favor with people. Like, once you've fallen out of favor with somebody, you know you've got to work to make it up to them. You've got to earn yourself back into the favor with people. You know, so I got to buy the staff Chinese dinner for lunch or something. I got to do something to get them back on side. But here's the thing with God. He's not like people. Once you are literally in God's good book, you're never taken out of it, because Jesus will not lose you nor forsake you and never ceases to intercede for you. John says in John 3:6-37, all that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. You can receive the favor of God. And once you receive the favor of God, you never lose the favor of God. Paul explains to the Christians that come after in Romans 8, for I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. You cannot get out of the good book once you're in the good book. There are no circumstances of this world, even the most final circumstances of life and death. There are no supernatural powers, whether angels or demons. There is nothing right now in the present. There is nothing in the future. There is nothing to be found anywhere, no matter how deep or how high you search, in all of creation that can separate you from the love of God when you have it. Amen. You cannot fall out of favor with God. Paul goes on to explain this in more detail to the Galatian church, who were starting to believe that they could somehow slip out of the love of God. And so they had to work at hanging on to it. They had to extend effort to stay saved. It's like, okay, we've fallen out of favor with God, so now I got to do some work to make it up to him so I'm favored again. And Paul writes to the Galatians. He says in chapter 3, let me ask you only this. I just have one simple question for you, Galatian Christians. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? There it is again, by faith. Did you get in God's good books by working to earn his favor, or did you believe with faith in his son? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, you're now being perfected by the flesh? So I won't unpack this whole passage, but Paul is basically saying, you got into the good book by hearing and believing. Having begun by hearing and believing, are you trying to finish by works? Do you think grace got you to the banquet, but your table manners can get you kicked out? Look, once you have received the Spirit, once you have the favor of God, then you don't lose it. Grace got you and grace keeps you and nothing separates you. My confidence that I will be a Christian tomorrow is not in myself, it's in Christ. My confidence that I'll be a Christian 10 years from now is not in myself, it's in Christ. I will not hold on to my old self, my own salvation. In fact, I can guarantee you, maybe even before this day is out, I will do something to jeopardize my salvation. But God will not let me go. Christ will not let me go. We can be favored by God, and we do not lose the favor of God. Ephesians, we've heard it already. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and it is not your own doing. It's a gift of God as a result of works, so that no one can boast. And Hebrews 7:25 says, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. You see, this is why we can count on this. This is why we can trust that we don't fall out of favor with God. While we worry or fret that somehow something that I've done or said or my life or what's gone on about it and what's happening to me is somehow separating me from the favor and the love and the peace of God, Jesus at that moment is sitting at the right hand on the throne and interceding for us. So have more faith than that. Have more faith than the thought that you can somehow slip out of the love of God. Jesus is alive right now, interceding on your behalf to the Father. That is why your salvation is secured. Because he's got it, and he's interceding for it constantly. God did not send his son to the cross to bear the penalty of your sin, only to somehow let you slip away. If you trust in Jesus, that he has done what God has promised, then he has you. And through Jesus, you cannot lose the favor of God. That's the gospel. That's good news. It's the best news you will hear your entire life. Amen. But Paul, you say, I don't always feel like I'm favored by God. Why don't I feel the love of God? Why don't I feel that God is pleased with me? Why do I, who have trusted in Jesus, feel like I'm among men or women on whom his favor does not rest, on whom he is not pleased? Well, that's the third point. You may not always feel favored by God, even with Jesus. Now, there's several reasons why we may not feel favored by God, but our feelings do not dictate what is real. And let me just say this about feelings. Our feelings are real, but our feelings are not a trustworthy narrator of reality. So I'll say that again. Our feelings are real. We're not denying feelings. We don't deny what we feel. We need to address our feelings. Our feelings are real. However, our feelings do not always or even often describe what is real. And so we need to check our feelings when they do not line up with reality. So there are times as Christians when we can feel like we do not have God's favor and goodwill. And I'll give you just three ways of when that might happen. The first one is in our circumstances. We can find ourselves in circumstances that cause us to not feel the favor of God. We are embodied souls, and sometimes the affliction on our body or soul, our natural or spiritual consequences or circumstances, can cause us to doubt God's favor. Jesus even tells his disciples to expect it. He says, "You will be hated by all for my name's sake." The Apostle Paul, describing what sounded like a typical week in his missionary life, says, "We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed." Well, you can imagine in those circumstances, whether it's shipwreck or imprisonment or beatings, that Paul probably didn't feel favored by God. I mean, we know one of his prayers about his illness and his sickness, where he was asking God to take it away from him. He wasn't feeling particularly favored at the moment. As disciples of Jesus who also live in a fallen world, we will experience, like Paul, spiritual opposition and oppression. We will experience the fallen and cursed nature of this world. Paul was shipwrecked, sick, probably half blind, crippled with an unknown disease. I mean, this, you know, Luke, we're reading the Gospel of Luke here. Luke traveled with Paul. He was a physician. Probably his main job traveling with Paul was just to keep him patched together enough so he could preach again. So our circumstances can make us feel like we are not favored by God. But was Paul ever out of God's favor? Are we ever out of God's favor despite what our circumstances look like? You can find yourself in 100 different painful circumstances from no fault of your own and feel like God is out to get you. Why doesn't God stop all this from happening to me? God does not take us out of the world, but leaves us to be salt and light in contact with the world. If we're going to be salt and light that's effective, we have to be in contact with decay and darkness. And it will have an effect on us. God does not take us out of every circumstance, but always gives us the strength to bear up under our circumstances. The peace that we have is not from our circumstances, but from God. The favor we have is not the favor of men or the favor of the world, but the favor of God. And yet in those circumstances, we can feel outside of God's favor, even when we're not. That's why we have to remember that we are never out of the favor of God. He is always for us, not against us. So our circumstances can make us feel that way. Another way that we can feel out of God's favor that maybe is a little more poignant is our conscience can make us feel like we're not favored by God when we sin. Often it's not our circumstances, but ourselves that create this feeling that God can't possibly love me like he used to. When we act out of our flesh rather than out of the Spirit, our conscience, our minds that are being transformed to the will of God, speak to our hearts and tells us that we're out of bounds, tells us that we're offside, that we are out in the darkness and not in the light, that we're living in the wrong kingdom. And we know we are going places and doing things that neither our king nor our father would desire of us. And so when our conscience gets a hold of us, we feel like we are out of favor with God and somehow he must love us less. In Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul is giving a list of behaviors that do not conform to the new life we have in Jesus. And he talks about malice and anger and bitterness and corrupting talk, etc. And he says in the midst of this list, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And when we act according to our flesh and not according to the Spirit, it does grieve God. And it is right that it grieves us. But our grief over sin should be what Paul calls godly grief that produces a repentance that leads to salvation without regret in 2 Corinthians. And so our conscience can make us feel like somehow God loves us less, maybe even like we've slipped out of God's favor and peace. It's just like with our own children. Or perhaps you remember when you were a child and you knew when you were out of bounds and behaved really badly. And you were certain you did not have the favor of your parents anymore. It probably took us a long time, several years maybe, to learn that we never actually escaped the favor of our parents. We were never outside of the goodwill of mom and dad. They never stopped favoring us, just as we never stopped favoring our own children. It felt like we were outside their favor. They may even have needed to discipline us to get us back into healthy patterns of life. But no matter how our guilt made us feel, no matter what consequences our actions brought on us, either natural or disciplinary, we never left the favor of our parents. And let me tell you, you may not feel favored by God, but you never leave the favor of the Father once you are favored. There is nothing you can do that can make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do that can make God love you less. God loves you. You are favored. He may discipline you. The sins of this world may afflict you. Your own stupidity may affect you. But none of that, even though it makes you feel like you are less favored by God, actually takes you out of the favor of God, despite your feelings. The third way, consequences, kind of slipped into it a little bit there, both natural and spiritual, can also make us feel like we're outside God's favor, when in fact the consequences that we are facing are merely the natural result of our behavior, or are the spiritual discipline we require to continue our sanctification. So there are natural consequences. If we insult someone larger and stronger than us on the playground, a natural consequence may be getting punched in the nose. Do not complain to God that he has withdrawn his favor when he doesn't miraculously protect you from your own rudeness. When you act foolishly and reap the consequences of foolishness, don't blame God and don't accuse him of loving you any less. In fact, it's very much God's favor that you taste the consequences of your foolishness and your sin. And let you in on something here. If you keep making a habit of being insulting with your words and acting foolishly and sinfully, then God may even have to supernaturally intervene with some extra spiritual discipline in order for you to make some progress in your sanctification. But even when God disciplines us, it's not because of a lack of goodwill, but because we are in his favor. Hebrews 12:6 says, "For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives." So count yourself blessed if God chastises you. Count yourself blessed if you know in your spirit that you can chalk this up to the discipline of God. To try to say, you know what, there is some foolishness, there is some sin, there is some flesh that I need to work out of you for your sanctification. That is a sign of the Lord's favor, even though we don't feel favored at the moment. There's lots of ways you may not feel the favor of God. You may not feel particularly and especially his love for you. It is hard to feel loved when we're suffering, even natural consequences, but especially the grief and conviction of our own sin or the persecution of the world. But regardless of how you feel, Christian, if you have trusted in the person of Jesus, you are favored by God. And I get it. There are days when we don't feel favored, but I don't ever want you to forget that you are favored. You can be favored by God through Jesus Christ. You will never lose the favor of God because of Jesus Christ. Even when you don't feel favored by God, you are still favored, which is the final point. You are favored by God in Jesus. Despite our circumstances, despite our conscience, despite even our own sin, we are still favored and have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Psalm 103 says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him." Your sin may make you feel far from God, but Jesus is interceding for you. You realize that there are no little black marks in heaven beside your name. That there is no record of the things that you have done wrong. That there's no, history book of Paul and all his foolishness. I mean, thank God for that. Thank God to all of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ that those black marks, those diaries, those accounts, those sins are as far as the east is from the west. Thank the Lord that Jesus is interceding in real time right now for what is going on in our lives. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion for those who fear him. Through Jesus, when we were far off, even just a little way off, we can draw near. Ephesians 2:13 says, "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." And so if it's your circumstances, if it's your sin, if it's your conscience, if it is the discipline of God, whatever it is that is making you feel far from God, outside his peace, outside his favor, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off can be brought near by the blood of Christ. Far off, nearby, whatever, it is through Jesus that we draw near to God. The great 20th century writer C.S. Lewis reminds us in his book Mere Christianity. He says, "But the great thing to remember is that though our feelings come and go, his love for us does not. It is not wearied by our sins or our indifference, and therefore it is quite relentless in its determination that we shall be cured of all those sins at whatever cost to us and whatever cost to him." You see, this is the great news that the angels proclaimed in the coming of our Lord Jesus. The coming of that person, the coming of Christ to Bethlehem. What the coming of that person meant is the coming of the means of finding peace and favor with God. In Jesus, we have it. In Jesus, we cannot lose it. Even if we don't feel it, we have it through faith in Jesus Christ. That's good news that the angel proclaimed. And so let me proclaim it again to you. You can be favored by God by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have that faith in Jesus Christ, you cannot lose favor with God. Even if you don't feel favored by God, you are favored by God. And he will not let you go. That's good news. The angels sing. That's what we sing. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this truth. That little phrase at the end of the angel's pronouncement there, on whom God's favor rests. It is a joyful proclamation with a sober question. On whom does God's favor rest? And we celebrate and we sing and we praise with the angels that your favor rests on those who have trust in that babe that came to Bethlehem that night. Those that trust in the promised offspring, those that trust in the promised king, those that put their hope and their faith in Jesus Christ alone are favored by God. It is possible to be favored by God, and we will never lose that favor. It is ours for eternity. Father God, that's what we sing along with the angels this Christmas season. Amen.